Today, I'd like to speak about how we view and value the resurrection of Jesus and what it should mean to us. Resurrection is defined as the act of rising from the dead or returning to life. Now, in the Gospels, three individuals were restored to life, which were the widow of Nain, the daughter of Jairus, and Lazarus. Although these individuals were restored to life, these events cannot be called resurrections because these people eventually experienced death. Resurrection has no more death. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, some awesome verses. Jesus said to her, this is talking to Martha at the tomb of Lazarus, "I am the resurrection." Wow, I love that. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." So we're not going to die. I mean, the body goes to the grave. You're not going with your body. You're going to heaven. Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. All you do is close your eyes over here and open them up in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. The resurrection that Jesus gives knows no death. At the end of our stay on earth, as we said, we close our eyes and open them in heaven. This is a genuine resurrection. What value do we place on the resurrection of Jesus? How much do we appreciate it? What does it mean to us? When we accepted the Lord into our lives, He brought us into a new life that He paid for. Through His death and resurrection, we not only have eternal life in heaven, but also a restored and a new life on earth. God's work begins here on earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 reads, "But by His doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Jesus saved us from ruination and destruction in this life, and eternal damnation in the next." Psalm 103, verse 4 states, "Who redeems your life from the pit? The pit is hell." Sometimes we don't like to talk about hell and how gruesome and most ugly and terrible it is. But sometimes we have to realize what it is as much as possible, and that Jesus is the only one who is keeping us from it. The resurrection. Jesus is the only one who is standing between us and in eternity in hell. Could we get a clap praise for Jesus? He's the only one who redeems your life from destruction, from hell, and from corruption. Jesus spoke about hell as a warning. Mark chapter 9, verse 48, "Where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Matthew 25, verse 30, "The outer darkness, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Thanks to Jesus, those who have accepted Him into their lives will never experience these horrors. What we will experience is eternity in heaven instead, with the most awesome, most amazing, most phenomenal, totally indescribable person we've ever met, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Wow. The one with the most phenomenal great heart, with infinite love, mercy, compassion, care, tenderness, kindness, amazing pity, grace unknown, and the list goes on and on. Now what about appreciation for resurrection power? If you could turn with me to John chapter 20, and we're going to read verses 1 to 18. John chapter 20 and verses 1 to 18. John chapter 20, beginning at the first verse. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Just want to stop there 1 minute. If I'm remembering correctly, I read up on the stone. It could have weighed as much as 2,000 pounds. It wasn't like a rock that we see around. Could have weighed as much as 2,000 pounds. An angel rolled it away. The stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came, this is Mary Magdalene, so she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen laying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with news. "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. So early on Easter morning, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb where Jesus had been buried and saw that the rock had been rolled away. Jesus had delivered Mary Magdalene from 7 demons. Now, when it mentions over here in the text the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that disciple was John. So Peter and John had come to the tomb. And it may sound like pompous, "Well, Jesus loves me." No, what John meant over here was, "Jesus loves even me. With all my sin and shortcomings, Jesus loves even me." Peter and John saw what Mary had observed. None of them understood that Jesus had risen from the dead. This lack of understanding that Jesus would rise from the dead may surprise us at first, but maybe we shouldn't be surprised. Do we understand everything that the Lord is trying to teach us? Do his teachings really penetrate us as they should? How closely are we following his teachings? Peter and John saw and left. I'm sure they loved the Lord, but they left the tomb at this point. Mary, brokenhearted, would not leave. She knew what Jesus had done for her, how he had delivered her from 7 demons. She went from the torment of demons to the great loving heart of Jesus. I mean, what a change. We know the song, "When Jesus Comes." Well, here's evidence of it. She went from the torment of 7 Jesus to that great the seven demons, the great, great heart of Jesus. When Jesus comes, nothing is impossible. If you think there's some situation that God can't handle in your life, think again. There's nothing. And it's not cliche. There's nothing impossible to Jesus. You bring it to the foot of the cross, the solution is there. While you're worrying about, oh, how will it be? How will it come about? I can never get past this. Yes, you could. In Jesus. By yourself, you won't. Jesus, you will. She went from the torment of demons to the great, loving heart of Jesus. You'll never stump Jesus. Whatever might be bothering you this morning, take it to Jesus. He's got the answer for you. He hasn't left you, hasn't forgotten you. He's got you in the palm of his hand, and he can take care of anything you bring to him. You'll never stump him. Never. Mary had a deep, intense love for the Lord. She appreciated the Lord's resurrection power in her life. Is there something that needs to be resurrected in your life this morning? Take it to Jesus and consider it done. How much do we appreciate and value salvation in our lives? Do we appreciate the power of the resurrection in our lives? Psalm 103, verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit, which is hell and corruption? Do we appreciate that Jesus has changed our future from eternal hell to eternal hell? Eternal hell. There's no getting out. Jesus changed it from eternal hell to eternal heaven. Thank you, Jesus, with all our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Easter is not just a one-day celebration. Every day should be a remembrance of a new, restored life that Jesus paid for and gave to us. Gratitude for the eternal life that he bought for us. We can never buy salvation. Jesus did, and what an awful price he paid for us. How much do we love Jesus, considering all that he has done for us and will do? He's not done yet. Is our love for Jesus what it should be? A good question. Is our love for Jesus what it should be? Now, two angels asked Mary why she was crying. She said, they have taken away my Lord. She knew what the Lord did for her. She said, they have taken away my Lord, not the Lord. She said, my Lord. Even the angels did not satisfy her. Someone else may have been ecstatic with an angelic visitation, but not Mary. Wow, I saw angels last night before I fell asleep. It wasn't good enough for Mary. She wanted to see Jesus. Is our focus, our attention on Jesus this morning? It should be. Mary Magdalene loved and appreciated what Jesus had done for her and what he meant to her, and wanted to see him, not the angels. No one else could satisfy her. We sing the song, there is none like you. How about the line, no one else could touch my heart the way you do. No one does it like Jesus. Do we really feel it this way about Jesus? No one else could touch my heart the way that you do. Do we love and value Jesus the way Mary did? Do we know in our hearts that there is no one else like him? That no one else could ever compare to him or even come remotely close to him? The fourth verse of the hymn, Pass Me Not, states, thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Jesus is everything to us. If it weren't for Jesus, we would be going to the pit, which is hell. If it weren't for Jesus, we would be in the lake of fire for eternity. Does this concept, this reality, penetrate us this morning? Thanks to Jesus, we will be in heaven for eternity. Wow, what a change. from hell to heaven. Only Jesus could do that. There's a saying, only Jesus could build the bridge to heaven with two pieces of wood. Only Jesus could build a bridge to heaven with two pieces of wood. Bless the Lord. Jesus asked Mary, whom are you seeking? Who or what are we seeking this morning? What are we hungering and thirsting for in life? Are we distracted by temporal things of this world that will pass away? Are we giving these things more of a priority than we give to Jesus? No one else could ever compare to Jesus. No one else died for us and rose from the dead. There is salvation in no one else but Jesus. There is no other way to heaven except in Jesus. Who are we seeking this morning? Who is our first love and greatest priority in life? The answer should be Jesus. Mary stood at the tomb when the others left, and she was rewarded. She was the first one to see Jesus resurrected. So the first missionary was a woman. It wasn't a man, it was a woman. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 says, you will seek me and find me when you will search for me with all your heart. She stood at the tomb seeking Jesus and she found him. In the song, I've Just Seen Jesus, it describes how Mary felt on this first resurrection morning. I've just seen Jesus. I tell you, he's alive. I've just seen Jesus, our precious Lord, alive. And I knew he really saw me too, as if till now I never lived. That's the way it is when you meet Jesus. All that I've done before won't matter anymore. Don't carry your past with you. When you meet Jesus and genuinely surrender to him, all that I've done before won't matter anymore. I've just seen Jesus, and I'll never be the same again. And I just want to repeat, maybe someone here is carrying the past with them. Don't do it. If Jesus forgave you, why are you carrying your past? It doesn't matter anymore. Your past is buried in the depths of the sea, never to be resurrected. All that I've done before won't matter anymore. I've just seen Jesus, and I'll never be the same again. How could you be the same if you genuinely meet Jesus? You have to change. Do you feel as though you never really lived until you met Jesus? Do you feel that since you met Jesus, you will never be the same again? If you have had a genuine encounter with Jesus, you will never be the same again. Do you feel like there is no one like him in your life? If you don't feel that way, you don't really know him. Even if you've been in church many years, it would be good to ask the question, what kind of impact has Jesus had on my life? Do we truly realize the impact that he has had on our lives? Do we hunger and for a greater impact of Jesus in our life? Do we hunger for more and a greater impact of Jesus in our lives? A person hasn't truly lived until he or she really met Jesus. I mean, there's accepting Jesus, then there's really seriously accepting Jesus and committing your life to him. After truly meeting Jesus, a person will never be the same again. A person will never be the same again because Jesus touched his or her life. And whatever Jesus touches is never the same again. Do you want more of him in your life? Do you want to really experience Jesus? If so, seek him the way Mary did. Seek him with all your heart. When you seek him with all your heart, you will find him, as we read in Jeremiah. If you have never experienced Jesus and the impact that he can have in your life, you need to accept him into your life this morning. Or you can renew your commitment to him this morning. What about the resurrection? Let's turn to Matthew 27 and read verses 62 to 66. Matthew chapter 27 and verses 62 to 66. Matthew 27, and beginning at verse 62. Now on the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I am to rise again.' Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead,' and the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go and make it as secure as you can." You think so? And they went and made the grave secure along with the guard, and they set a seal on the stone. Pilate told the chief priest and the Pharisees to make the grave as secure as they could with the guard. Really? No guard, no security, no power was going to stop the resurrection. What occurred was a defeat of what we call death. Jesus gave the death blow to death. That's what he did. In his resurrection, Jesus destroyed the power of death. Death couldn't handle Jesus. Couldn't handle him. And he destroyed the power of death for each one of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, as we read earlier, "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" What does the resurrection mean to us this morning? We celebrate Resurrection Sunday, but what impact does it have in our lives? Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." How well do we know Jesus, and how much of him have we received and accepted into our lives? Are we living the life of someone whose life has been changed and resurrected by the power of the Lord? We want our lives to show the resurrection power of Jesus. A life possessing and showing the love of God. A life dedicated and committed to him. A life that shows the joy of knowing Jesus. A person whose heart and mind is under the control of the Holy Spirit. A person who is filled and continually refilled with the Holy Spirit. A life overflowing with the reality of Jesus Christ. Do we view our encounter with Jesus as the greatest event of our life? Do we view our encounter with Jesus as the best thing that could ever happen to us? This morning, do you feel that you have really encountered Jesus to the point where he is an addiction in your life? If a person really knows Jesus, he will be an addiction in your life. The song "More Than Wonderful" states, "He's more than wonderful, he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for. Everything he's promised and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more wonderful. That's what Jesus means to me." So with that, we're going to close the message, and we're going to get down to pray.